Good evening. Allow me first to thank Boku for this invitation and to give me the opportunity to meet the German audience for the first time. And allow me to apologize for this technical barriers between us, the issue of language. I cannot speak neither fluently or barely, like Professor Zuckerman, your language. So bear my English language, and I'm sure that you will not be able to understand my Arabic language. So here we go from the beginning. Well, I'm coming, as Moshe said, from the so-called Holy Land that God has been disappeared since many years in that land, seems to be. And the last escalation in the military action in the occupied Palestinian territories have led us to be less and less optimistic, for my regret. And it seems to be that the days that we are going to face are going to be harder even. Now, when we are sitting here and we are talking about the situation, I don't know if we will manage by our speeches to follow up the deterioration that might be going on this right minute. Because when I left the country this morning, everybody was discussing and there was a huge debate and everybody was waiting for the next step of, again, reinvasion of Gaza Strip after the last bomb that happened 2 days ago in near Tel Aviv. So it seems to be that sometimes we feel whatever we are going to discuss in a certain moment can be somehow irrelevant after 2 or 3 days or 4 days, and this feeling have been accompanying us for many years, but especially in the last 1 and so on month. I wanted first to say that it seems to be that in the last also month, there's a lot of terminology that have been disappeared, that disappeared from the international discourse or in general in politics. And more there's a way, and it is important to understand the political situation, and sometimes terminology is not sometimes, always, it's not an issue of words, it's more an issue of position and analyzing situation. And if we are talking about violence and violence from both sides, and if we are talking about escalation of violence, we should bear and be aware of the situation and go back to the roots of the problem in order to understand how we can go further. We cannot discuss this issue just as an issue of a conflict or violence. We have to remember and to keep in our mind that it is a situation of occupation, and it is a situation of oppressing another people by a state and depriving them the right of a self-determination and to establish their own state and to practice the so-called building the nation or the state in all the process and all the pain in doing this. That doesn't mean that we undermine the violence and the bloodshedding that was happening in the last year and so on. But it seems to be that, and Moshe had explained it very, well, that you cannot take responsibility, you cannot blame on the same level both the occupier and the occupied. I think that the responsibility for ending the occupation is mainly on the shoulders of the Israeli state. Israel have to make a choice, and it has to be a choice of peace. Otherwise, it will be a total destruction of the whole area, of the whole region. There is no way that this occupation, this violence can continue, and at the same time to feel that there is a way to continue this life without taking care of this main problem of the occupation. because it seems to be, although it was very painful and it was very regretful, but there was a way to show that security cannot be secured for one side only. As long as one side is not secured, the other will not be secured. And it is very painful to say this, but it seems to be that although people are understanding that by the difficult way, there is no a real preparation in the Israeli side to step forward and to take responsibility and to make the historical choice of peace. And people might think that what is going on in the Palestinian side and why it is happening in such a, or to put it in another way, did the Palestinian people really make the choice of peace? Did the Palestinian people are really saying very loudly and very clearly, we want a solution, and which kind of solution the Palestinian people have agreed upon? And I think it was clear in 1988 in Tunis that the Palestinian, at that time, the PLO, have made the choice, and the PLO is the representative of the Palestinian people, have the choice of going forward to a political solution, to a solution where a compromise was made from the Palestinian side, I'm talking. A compromise was made and agreed upon that after that also the Oslo agreements, and we can be as critical as we want. It's sometimes it's so cynical that the same people like us who were also critical about the Oslo agreement today are wishing that at least the Oslo agreement will be fulfilled. Although we in the beginning were critical, we knew that it is a problematic agreement and that it might not be guaranteeing the real peace we are looking for. But today we are wishing, we are back at that point, and we are wishing that at least those agreements will be fulfilled. But at the same time, I think there is a very a special relationship between and I'm speaking maybe at this point metaphorically, there is a special relationship between the both sides who are rejecting the political solution. There's a way that one side is enriching and empowering the other side in the other community. The Israelis who are not choosing the political solution by acts are enriching and empowering those who are opposing the political solution in the Palestinian side and vice versa. There is a special dynamic, although we wish that those who are fighting for peace or those who are struggling for peace will be empowering each other. But it seems to be that the other relationship in these days are much stronger. And we try our best inside Israel, and as a Palestinian, we try our best to be optimistic and to think that there is no other way. I was asked to talk about an optional solution or a solution that I think it will be good. And as simple as it can sound, I mean, we can talk hours about it, but it's simply as stopping the occupation and withdrawing from the West Bank and Gaza Strip, going back to the borders of 1967, having a solution for East Jerusalem. I don't know what it should be, shared capital, two capitals whatsoever, but to have a solution for this problem. And of course, withdrawing or getting back all the settlements from the West Bank and Gaza Strip, which seems to be, and I know it is a huge problem inside the Israeli society, the issue of settlements in the West Bank and Gaza Strip. And I'm not talking about all the settlers, as Moshe said, in the West Bank and Gaza, because a lot of them are not there because of ideological purposes. It's more like questions of better life and better conditions and better economical situation, but the main core or the main problem is about settlers who are ideologically see themselves as the people who have the right to be there and to continue to live there and to continue to practice whatever it is practiced. I can talk a lot about what is practiced in the West Bank and Gaza Strip. Probably, I don't know how much of information gets to the westward, and I know that not a lot of information is getting to the West about the military actions inside the West Bank and Gaza. But how we can get to that very simple as if solution? It seems to be that it is so took for granted that this should be the solution, but at the same time, how we can get there. When Oslo agreement happened, we thought that we are on the beginning of the road. We knew that there will be a lot of problems. Nobody maybe anticipated this escalation. Nobody anticipated that we are going to face a situation that today, this conflict is maybe 30 years back, and I think it's even worse, because 30 years back there wasn't this trust or this hope that started to be built over the last years, and it is broken down. It's damaged, it's destroyed, and we are not in the same point that we were many years ago. We are in a worse place. We are in a place that we tested the things, and it seems to be not working. We are in a place where the trust is destroyed, where in a place of a lot of hatred from both sides, and it is just escalating. It's just going on. And I think there has to be very brave steps taking place. What can the international forces do, or the international community do? You can just take an example what happened with the investigation committee in what happened in Jenin, and take it as an example. What really can the international community do in this conflict? I mean, even to take a decision of bringing investigation committee, or even not, it wasn't declared as an investigation, but it's more a fact, discovering a committee coming to Israel, the Security Council couldn't implicate it. They couldn't really get it into reality. And even if they thought about investigation committee, then the American veto will be immediately brought into the Security Council and used. And then if this small issue cannot be implicated by the international community, then what? I mean, is it going, and Moshe spoke about the military interference that can be really very dreadful for all the region, not just for Israel or not just for the Palestinians. So what can really happen? If this is the situation with the left wing inside Israel, and if everybody understands that the military actions cannot bring any solution. At the contrary, it is bringing more damage and more hatred and more bloodshedding. So what really can happen? What can the Palestinian people do in the time of when the real force for peace inside the Palestinian community? And it is more and more clear today that the NPA, the National Palestinian Authority, is this peace movement inside the Palestinian territories is almost smashed, but in the last 2 months. If the infrastructure is destroyed of this Palestinian Authority, how can now, it's kind of a cycle that sometimes I cannot understand how it is going to be breaked. At the same time, The Israeli government is smashing the infrastructure of the NPA, and at the same time, they are asking them to be responsible for what is going on. We are taking the tools out of the hands of the authority and saying you have to do something. What can be done? If the Israeli government is damaging the hope, first of all, of the Palestinian people, the trust of the Palestinian people in their authority, in their leaders, And I'm not saying here about all this talking about transparency inside the Palestinian Authority, and I think it should be, and I think there is a lot to be done in order to do reforms in the Palestinian Authority, but I'm talking about the trust of any general, any normal nation in its leaders, that these leaders are bringing us to a better future. If this trust can be, and it is damaged, and if at the same time the everyday life cannot be offered by the authority, by the leadership to the Palestinian people, if security is not guaranteed, if food is not guaranteed, if medical care is not guaranteed, and I'm talking about a very, very dangerous situation of people who are starving, who are avoided medical care, who are not in the West Bank and Gaza Strip, and who are divided into small towns and villages, living months almost under curfew, and believe me, it's not something really neither nice or bearable to live under. I just walked in the streets of Bethlehem under curfew, and it's really scary to be in a city that you cannot see one single person in the street, that you cannot see one open door or one open window in the whole city, and you can just see tanks and soldiers, and you can hear the guns. So which kind of hope is for the Palestinian people, and which kind of trust they can develop toward a better future? And at the same time, which kind of hope and which kind of a trust for a better future can the Israelis develop in the last a few months? Although it seems to be very pessimistic, but we try very hard to climb into our optimistic side and to believe really that there have to be an end. There have to be a way to break down this wall, to break down this cycle of blood, and to go out of it and to try to build a different a future for both peoples. Maybe as a Palestinian citizen of Israel, we feel the both pains, the pain of our own people, the Palestinian people, and the pain of the people that we live among, the Israeli people. At the same time, I can feel the hunger and the fear of the Palestinian child, and I can feel the fear of my own child to go to a public space in these days inside Israel. So maybe we have a special rule inside this society, and I think that the Palestinian society inside Israel have played a special role as the main core of the peace movement inside Israel. It doesn't mean that we really can influence. We are not really making any illusions here. We are marginalized more than ever in the last few months inside Israel. Our voice is not heard very loudly, and nobody wants to hear our voice. It's kind of saying, this is not an issue for you. It's an issue for the general Israeli public and not for the Palestinian Israelis. But at the same time, I can see small hope in the end of the tunnel, because I can still hear people who can speak like Moshe here, and who people who are going out in demonstrations, as few as we are inside Israel, and willing more to express their willingness to, I don't like to say to pay the price of peace, because I don't think that there is a price for peace in the Israeli side. Giving up the territories, is this the price? Giving up the occupation, is this a very hard price to do? what can be gained on the other side. Now, how these very few powers inside Israel can really make the mobilization and grow bigger and bigger, this is a difficult question that the peace movement and the left, the so-called even left inside Israel, is trying to investigate in these days. Because the left wing in Israel is a different meaning than when you talk about a left wing in all the world. It's a left wing in the meaning of the political problem and in the position toward the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. If you are with peace, if you are willing to end the occupation, then you are immediately called left wing. And it's not the same meaning of left wing internationally. But I mean, this cycle of left wing is, meanwhile, till today, or till the last 2 weeks, it was growing less and less and less. In the last 2 weeks, there I can sense a different mobilization, a different atmosphere where more people are starting to be willing to go out and to say, we want this to stop. Especially when I was coming today in the flight, I was reading the Friday in newspaper, and there were more and more reservists in the army who were willing to express their reluctance of a military action in Gaza Strip, something that, although you probably heard about the 450 reservists who refused to serve in the West Bank and Gaza Strip in the last military action, but and they were condemned, and everybody or the majority of the Israeli public opinion were against this action of these reservists. But today more and more reservants are saying why we should do this. For the sake of what? Are we really bringing security? Are we really bringing safety for our own people? Or are we just escalating the hatred and escalating and bringing a new generation of Palestinian desperate, feeling so oppressed, and who knows what they will think about the kind of solution they think about? And I'm asking myself again, should I offer here a solution, or should I talk here about offering a solution? I don't think that I have the power. I wish I had the power. Believe me, I would think very hard. I wish I had the power to be, to bring, when I go home, to bring Arafat and Sharon and tell them, listen, I have a solution for you guys. Go and implement it. It's not this way. It's not up to us, the very few people still believe in peace and in political solution. It's up to the majority who didn't make the choice yet, and which I hope that will not lead to a situation that the majority in the Palestinian people will become to be the same majority of the Israeli people now, a majority who cannot make the historical choice of choosing the peace path. Thank you.